So I go on like online forums just to kind of see what's the new buzz, what's what people are talking about. And someone put up a video of Joel Osteen. I'm not going to bother listening to it, but apparently he says something about not eating pork, health issues, and that kind of stuff. And that becomes a big debate, right? And I just put my two cents. I'm like, look, guys, I mean, and this is all Christian people, right? And I'm like, look, you don't have to worry about that. You guys aren't under the law. What are you worried about? You know, quote a couple Bible verses and things like that. And I got some crap for it. People didn't seem to like what I said there. They said to me when I say, hey, you know, we're not under the law, you don't have to worry about that. I said, I agree that pigs are dirty, but after the resurrection of Christ, we as believers don't have food laws. And one of the responses is, that's really sad to be impregnated with that idea and nurse it along to others. And people liked that person's comment, and then other people were kind of responding. So I said, okay, well, oh, and then here's another one. Sorry, you were teaching abomination. So apparently I'm teaching abomination. And then I said, okay, well, I mean, if the question at hand is a health issue, I said, okay, let me post some articles and journal articles and, you know, medical stuff for you guys to see that maybe pork isn't as bad. I mean, as long as you prepare it correctly, it's not bad. I mean, there are no health issues apparently. And I literally just posted the pages, the articles, the PDFs, and they deleted it. They deleted the articles. And I'm like, what the heck? I can't believe it. So they didn't even want to hear what medically has already been proven, that if your argument is a health issue, it isn't. It's not a problem. I don't know. That just kind of got me going here. So I'm like, okay, then we're going to talk about that. So just looking at different things here. So Leviticus 11, so that became a little inspiration there. But I can't believe it. It's still, this belief exists in Christian circles. And got shot down for it and even deleted comments. So, but let's look at this and see what's really going on here. Obviously, Old Testament, and this is clearly going to speak to Israel. Leviticus 11, verse 1, says, and the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying to them, speak to the people of Israel. There's your big clue who this is written to. Saying, these are the living things that you may eat among all the animals that are on the earth. Whatever parts the hoof and is cloven-footed, and chews the cud among the animals you may eat. Nevertheless, among those that chew the cud or part the hoof, you shall not eat these. The camel, because it chews the cud but does not part the hoof, is unclean to you. And the rock badger, because it chews the cud but does not part the hoof, is unclean to you. Verse 6. And the hare, bunnies, because it chews the cud but does not part the hoof, is unclean to you. And the pig, and this is the argument here, right? And the pig, because it parts the hoof and is cloven-footed but does not chew the cud, is unclean to you, right? So it just keeps going. You shall not eat of any other flesh, and you shall not touch their carcasses. They are unclean to you. And it goes on to, you know, what you may eat. And, you know, obviously shellfish, no good, right? If we just keep going, right? I'm not going to go too far into that. I'm going to fast forward because it gives you just a whole list of things, clean and unclean, what you can and can't eat. So what is the purpose of all this? Let's go down to verse 43. You shall not make yourselves detestable with any swarming thing that swarms. Verse 44. For I am the Lord your God. Consecrate yourselves, therefore. Be holy, for I am holy. And that's the whole thing. Why does God give them these laws? So that they're set apart. That's the whole purpose of this, right? To be holy, so to be, you're set apart. And what does that mean? If you're set apart, obviously, you understand this, you're people of God, right? You are now used for his specific use. We're using the definition of hagios there, but the idea is similar in Hebrew, holy, right? You're set apart. You're consecrated. So he says, consecrate yourselves, therefore. Be holy, for I am holy. And that's the whole purpose of this, right? Anything about health here? No health issues. So let's go to Deuteronomy 14. This is the repeat, right? And this gets a little interesting here. So thank God for, you know, Facebook debates, because it helps to sharpen us, I guess. What's funny is our circle here, we understand that we're not under any kind of food laws. But I'll kind of use what Jofi talks about to actually qualify it. So we're going to kind of go with that there. So Deuteronomy 14, verse 2, for you are a people holy to the Lord your God, and the Lord has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. That is a part of the purpose. Verse 3, you shall not eat any abomination. And that's where things get a little interesting. He goes on to explain good and bad, right? Clean and unclean foods. But that's an interesting sentence right before we start that. You should not eat any abomination. What is an abomination? For example, I mean, if we could say something that's disgusting, right? But how do you judge something as disgusting? You guys ever think about that? I never thought about that until I was kind of looking at these verses here. What's disgusting? I mean, there's, I guess, we'll use moral laws, right? That's bad. That's good. Let's go with food, just because that's what we're talking about here. How do we judge disgusting? Where it came from? Yeah, I mean, that's just kind of, yeah, but that's great. Yeah, exactly. I mean, for example, like we Californians, I don't think any of us eat raccoon or squirrels or anything like that. To me, that's disgusting. That's like, oh, I don't know if I would ever do that, right? So same idea here with the Hebrews. How do you tell them you don't eat anything disgusting? Okay. So could there be an aspect here that perhaps the people, Israel, understands what disgusting is? Because we need some context here, right? Any thoughts on that? What do you guys think of that? Then that's what's interesting. Is there an aspect here? And I'm not saying that this is a matter of opinion, obviously, but I think it's interesting because how do you say don't eat something that's disgusting? I mean, I would have to know what disgusting is. That's my point. So it looks like there's an implication here with the idea of abomination. And I looked at a couple different ways of how this idea or how food laws are broken down. And there's a couple theories and there's a lot of wrong ones, I think. And I want to go through those. I think it's just interesting just to hear different arguments. And if I can throw this in there, I mean, we just read in Leviticus. Why do you do this? Because you're set apart. You're consecrated, right? So there's got to be this connection with, or is there actually, let me put it in a question form. Is there a connection with food and being consecrated? I mean, we know as New Testament believers, no, there isn't. So what's going on back then? So that's the big mysterious question here. So let me find my list here. The hygiene medical argument. This is Maimonides. Have you heard of that? I've read the name. I don't know how to say it. Old Jewish thinker, rabbi. His whole thing was unclean animals. This is what Maimonides, I guess his commentary would say. Unclean animals have parasites and bacteria. So if you don't cook it right, you can get sick. I mean, it makes sense, right? So this is 12th century thinking. And that's what I actually grew up on. You know, in fact, Islam wouldn't eat pig because it was filthy. It was dirty. They sleep in their own, you know, dung and, you know, bacteria. They're not good. So that's why you don't eat it. Then you have to also think, and this, thank God for Funny, because she said something which reminded me, free-range chickens, right? They lay their eggs just anywhere, free-range, right? And she said that in the studies that they did, the free-range chickens actually had, their eggs actually had more bacteria than the ones, you know, in the cages, which got me thinking, well, wait a minute, that's not a pig. That's not, you know, any of the list of things that they had there, but that also has bacteria. So what about that? What do we do with that? We found traces of E. coli on the free-range eggs, yet McDonald's still wants to use those because that's what... Thank God for capitalism, right? But that's, you know, another, I guess, you know, just a little downfall there, but still love capitalism over any other system. No matter how bad the downfalls might be, it's still way better than any other system ever existed on this planet. So that's an interesting thought, I thought, is, well, wait a minute, there's the hygiene argument, the medical argument, but then eggs, I mean, that's the thought that I had was, wait a minute, that happens with the free-range eggs, what do you do with that? How about those situations? Why aren't those, if God was trying to be a divine doctor, why didn't he say no free-range eggs? You know, I mean, I know I'm being silly here, but think of the logic. That's what I'm trying to see. What is the logic behind that? So that it can't be a hygiene issue. Or what about, there's washing of hands. We talk about washing of hands, right? I mean, let's look at some verses here. Exodus verse 30. Just for the sake of, let's just kind of see what they're talking about, what they talk about with washing of the hands. I'm hoping to get you guys thinking a little bit here. Because you guys know, this is a no-brainer, but I think I'm just trying to expand on this and kind of really dig a little bit on this one. So Exodus 30, verse 17, that says, "The Lord said to Moses, you shall also make a basin of bronze with its stand of bronze for washing. You shall put it between the tent of meeting and the altar, and you shall put water in it." So notice where it is, "with which Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands and their feet. When they go into the tent of meeting, or when they come near the altar to minister, to burn a food offering to the Lord, they shall wash with water so that they may not die." So that's interesting. That doesn't sound like it's a hygiene issue. right? And notice where they are. They're at the altar. They're here, altar to minister. Okay, so any hygiene issues here? Doesn't sound like it. Verse 21, they shall wash their hands and their feet so that they may not die. He repeats it. It shall be a statute forever to them, even to him and to his offspring throughout their generation. So what was all that for? What was the washing of the hands for? Well, they're about to do something for God, for God's purpose, right? There's a reason there. Looking at a Numbers, similar washing of the hands situation here, Numbers 19, verse 5. And that says, and the heifer shall be burned in his sight, its skin, its flesh, and its blood with its dung shall be burned. And the priest shall take cedar wood and hyssop and scarlet yarn and throw them into the fire burning the heifer. And notice who it is, it's a priest. Verse 7, then the priest shall wash his clothes and bathe his body in water, and afterward he may come into the camp, but the priest shall be unclean until evening. So, interesting, priest is washing his garments, but apparently that's not enough. You have to wait until the evening for you to be considered clean. So again, it can't be a hygiene issue here. Verse 8, the one who burns the heifer shall wash his clothes in water, and bathe his body in water, and shall be unclean until evening. Same thing. So, in verse 9, and a man who is clean shall gather up the ashes of the heifer, deposit them outside the camp in a clean place, and they shall be kept for the water for impurity for the congregation of the people of Israel. It is a sin offering. And the one who gathers the ashes of the heifer shall wash his clothes and be unclean until evening. Three times in a row there. So, if it was washing for the sense of hygiene and I want to be clean, I'm just thinking logically here. You wash your hands or you wash your clothes and I'm okay, well there, that's clean, right? Isn't that what we do, right? But why do they have to wait until evening? My point with this is it's a ritual. This is just God's ritual. This is just his commandments. This is the direction he gave Israel back then. We don't have this, praise God. Thank God, that's a pain if you ask me. But we don't have any of this. So back to the argument, the whole hygiene thing is, it just doesn't hold water, if you will. Get it? Back to, Deuteronomy 14, but I mean, it's just that one verse we're dealing with. I'm going to go there. So looking at all these, the hygiene, if you will, the hygiene argument, it just doesn't work. Again, if it was a hygiene issue, does water by itself, well, you would know, water by itself, does that clean up all the bacteria? Of course not. I mean, we all know that. It doesn't do it. You need some soap. Where then is the verse about soap, right? Use soap to wash your hands or for the ceremony. No, he doesn't say any of that. I'm not trying to be silly, but I just want to make a good point here about the hygiene. It's not a hygiene thing. It's God's ritual that he gave to his people. What about washing cups, utensils, you know, things of that sort? It doesn't say anything about washing those. But you wash things that apparently have to deal with God. Do you see? It's all back to God, and there's a ritual behind it. So that's one theory. And I actually grew up on that one. I actually thought that there was, you know, that is the reason why they did that. And perhaps they actually believe that, at least Islam, you know, of what I understood. Perhaps they actually believe that to this day, but that can't be the reason if we look at the laws. Another argument here, they call it the cultic or the cult polemic argument. This one is by Origen. I'll just read the theory here. Pagan religions sacrificed animals to their deities. Thus, those animals are to be detestable to Israel. Meaning, if a different culture did this, they offered the pig, for example, or some other animal, then we're not going to do it because we're going to be different. Okay. So a couple issues with that too. I wrote them all down here. Most common animal sacrificed with the Canaanite religions, the Egyptian religions, were actually goats, cattle, and sheep. Is that the same as what Israel does? Goats and sheep, right? Bulls. So cattle. Yeah, we can throw that in there. Yeah. So very similar, I guess, is the point. Wait a minute. So Canaanites and the Egyptians actually did a very similar type of sacrifice as Israel did. So the cultic argument doesn't sound very good. There are some situations where they found some writings talking about these other cultures sacrificing pigs, but apparently it's a very rare thing. It's not a big thing that they would do like Israel would. They would ritually, if I could say it like that, they would sacrifice specifically on a specific day, a specific time, specific ways, right? Nothing about pigs. Nothing about pigs come up with the Egyptian cultures, Canaanite cultures. Rarely, though. Only rarely does it come up. So that's one issue. Another thing that they found was some archaeology that archaeology digs that found pig bones in some pits. So they're saying, oh, that is a possibility that, you know, these other cultures did sacrifice pigs. Okay, okay, fine. Why not? Sure, but doesn't sound like it was a normal thing that these other cultures would do. So just stuff to think about here. No evidence, not enough evidence there. Then we go on to look at, well, we're just talking about pigs there. What about rodents? What about, you know, you can't eat the hare, right? You can't eat rabbits, right? That's what the law says. But there aren't any other cultures that sacrifice rabbits. So then what happens to this theory, this cultic argument, right? That if the other cultures did it, then we're not going to do it because we're different, because we're Israel. No, it's not. It's none of these things. So I just want you to see just different things that, you know, have been talked about and thought about. And these are old arguments. This one I'm just going to mention and move on because it's called the anomaly argument. In a nutshell, I'll just read it. It's the clean versus unclean dependent on how the animal moved. Isn't this crazy? It's like, what? This was an anthropologist, Mary Douglas. She comes up with this theory, clean versus unclean, dependent on how the animal moved. If they didn't move or had any type of overlap with a different species, they would be considered quote-unquote misfits, is what her theory was. I'm not going to get too far into this, but it's funny because she actually changes her position later, so it's not even worth talking about. So she doesn't even believe in her own argument, okay? So I just want you to see all these wacky things that people have come up with to try to explain this. Last piece here is the analogy argument. If we sacrifice it to God, then it must be acceptable to eat. Okay, that sounds great on the surface, but what about fish? No, there is no fish sacrifice, is there? No. So that one, we can throw that out too. But you know what's funny is some of them might have strains of truth, but you know what I mean? It has to kind of make sense, but it doesn't. That's the weird part here. So it's almost like the Calvinist versus the Arminianism approach. There's truth in both, but they're not truth by themselves. So there might be strings of truth in some of these. So back to what we're talking about here. Understanding what this abomination is. You can't just say, hey, don't eat disgusting things without me knowing what a disgusting thing is. So the argument I think I'm trying to make here is it's very similar to how God had no issues with them having multiple wives. Was that a God thing? No, that was a cultural thing. So I think there's a string, at least a string of that they may have already had in their own culture, certain animals they wouldn't eat. We can use the theory of, hey, we don't eat vultures because they eat dead things. That makes sense. I'm not going to eat that. That's disgusting, right? So there's these, you know, just these thoughts here. Let me just read this. Some may be that they will make you distinct from the other peoples, and they are not fit for sacrifice to the Lord. Thus, we won't eat it. So there's that, the analogy approach there a little bit, but other aspects are cultural disgust, which by definition makes it an abomination. So there's a couple layers. I guess my thought is this, is to know what an abomination is, you've already got to have an idea of what we as a culture consider an abomination. Again, us as Californians, we don't eat squirrel, we don't eat raccoons, but you go to a different place, that's okay. Cultural thing, right? So there's a layer of that. But then we also have the theocratic aspect, right? Are we under a theocracy? Today, we are not under a theocracy. Okay, so God has his laws. Some of it will have these elements of, well, look, you guys don't do this, so I'm not going to make it a big thing. Like marrying many wives, I'm not going to make that a big thing. It's not going to mess up my big plan, all right? So there are these little elements here I want you guys to see, because what is an abomination? I don't know unless I live in your culture. So there's that aspect. Then there's a theocratic aspect that we don't live under. So guess what? I guess in a nutshell here, the answer is what? We as New Testament believers, we don't live under Israel. We're not the Semitic ancient culture. So don't worry about it for us. We're not under it. Okay, they were under it. That was their law. That was their culture. That was what God wanted for them. There was purpose for that. So why make it such a big deal, right? I mean, these guys, the guys who are arguing for it. But again, they come and all their arguments are health. And well, it says it, in the Old Testament, it says that. And if God said that, then it's not over yet. It's a very simplistic argument. And it's like, well, wait, if it continually says we're not under the law, and Paul says continually we're not under the law, and it's continually said that there's a new law that I'm under, right? The law of Christ, right? That's the new law we are under. What part of that new law, and you can't mix the two laws together, it doesn't work. One is set apart, right? Not in a holy way. In fact, I'll say it this way, we're not under that law. Christ takes the weight of that law, then we're not under it anymore. Now we're under the new law, Christ, right? I feel like it's just, it's too simple. But that's all it is. It's simple. It's done. It's all done. Food laws are all behind us. Jesus, when they didn't wash their hands and before they ate, you know, how could you use those verses? It's like, whoa, like, do you not understand the spirit of what they're talking about there? Okay, fine. Good argument. When God's talking to Peter, he is talking about the Gentiles, but I think there's a double entendre there about you don't have to eat, or you can eat what is unclean. In fact, he says it that way, right? Yeah, God says, don't call what is unclean what is clean, right? That's what God says. But double entendre, right? We're not under that law anymore. New dispensation, if I could say it that way. And the other aspect is the unclean, us, Gentiles. So we're in. I don't know. I don't know why they can't see that. But I still want to talk more about it. And hopefully we can kind of uncover, unpack. I don't know what the right word is. For us not to be shaken by these people. And man, I mean, you got to see the list of people that really got upset at me. I'm like, wow. And they're calling me all these names. I laugh at it, but I also want to see their arguments. I'm truly curious to know, if I'm wrong, I want to know, but I'm not seeing their arguments. And especially if you're going to erase my evidence, that tells me that you're not trying to debate in a healthy way. You're just going to be a jerk about it. So the vibe I'm getting is, I mean, just looking at some of the stuff that they said here, they have this big connection to the Old Testament. I don't think it's a Hebrew roots thing, but they just don't want to let go of some of the laws. It's the weirdest thing. I want to know for a fact, is this really a health issue? It isn't. It isn't at all. Not at all. And thank God, you know, because boy, is it good. And any animal can have bacteria. You can't just say, oh, well, the pigs. What about the other list? What about the rabbits? I mean, any animal can have people can have parasites, for God's sake, right? So, I mean, these silly arguments, they don't hold water. I mean, I got a kick out of it because it was Joel Osteen, and, you know, I don't take him too seriously or seriously at all. I mean, because I can't really understand their philosophy. They're just little quick sound bites, basically. And of course, there's always the argument, you know, if you're going to discern, you need to use the Holy Spirit. But it's like, well, God's also given us some common sense here. I'm not denying the Holy Spirit. Of course, we want to be led by the Spirit. But I'm wondering, am I being led by the Spirit, or are they being led by the Spirit? How do you define that? How do you know it's the Holy Spirit, or how do you know if that man's a true prophet? Well, you'll have the evidence come up eventually, right? There's truth behind it. There's facts behind it. That's just our stance, and that's history. We look at history. We look at the evidence. I want to know what we're talking about. So yeah, the Holy Spirit, I think, is going to guide you that way. But what is God? He's also the God of truth. This word is, it's his word, right? It's a book of truth. You can say that about anything and about anyone, but now, great argument. Am I being led, or are you being led? So we can't play this, oh, well, I'm being led by the Spirit and you're not. No, let's look at the evidence. Let's look at the facts. Let's look at the history. Let's understand the language, whatever we have to do to understand this as best as we can. So be aware of, and I know you guys know better than that, but just be aware of these people, you know, throwing Christianese and spiritualese language at you, because it's out there and it's going to happen. So